following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts, ask a question about glaucoma, find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Steve Ree filling in for Dr. Tortora this morning. It's time once again for a regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We'll be here for the next hour talking about glasses, bifocals, lasers, and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today or have a question, give us a call. Our number here is 521-8383. So we'd love to hear from you and answer your questions if you have any. You can also follow us on Dr. Tortora on Twitter if you're into Twitter by going to twitter.com, Dr. Tortora. All opinions expressed on this program are my own and don't necessarily reflect those of the station. I'm an ophthalmologist. An IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. We'll try to be very consumer-oriented today and make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, since I can't see you through the phone, I may have to recommend an exam before I can tell you exactly what's happening to your eyes. Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor our program today as a public service, so sit back, relax, and please call us with any questions. I hope everyone had a good week, and for you tuning in, thank you for listening to us. I've had a good week, as always, at Hawaiian Eye Center. We see lots of patients, meet lots of interesting people, so it's always fun to go to work for me. I always start off the program by going over a few interesting cases that I've seen over the past week or two. And hopefully people out there with similar problems can relate, and hopefully we can help you out. The first person that I'm going to talk about is a 30-year-old female who's been having a lot of headaches, especially after reading. She doesn't have a really visual complaint, but these headaches have been bothering her, and she's been seeing her primary care doctor. And her doctor recommended that she see us. And we get this quite a lot. A lot of doctors send over their patients with unknown causes of headaches, and nothing seems to work. So they figure, oh, maybe it's the eyes. And that is good to rule out, since the vision or problems with the vision can cause eye strain, resulting in headaches. So when we saw this nice lady, her vision was actually pretty good for distance. She was 20/20, and her near vision was also pretty good. But she did have that complaint that after reading for long periods of time, and she does do quite a bit of reading for her job, and she's on the computer a lot, by the end of the day, she's just suffering from these headaches right behind the eyes and around her temples. So when I looked at her eyes looked really healthy. However, after we dilated her eyes, we did see that she did have some farsightedness. What does that mean? Well, what does dilation mean? Well, that's something we often do on our exam. We give our patients some eye drops, and the eye drops help to dilate or open up the pupil. And that does two things. It opens up the pupil so we can see inside the eye. Since that's very hard to do, since the pupil, you know, it can shrink down, especially when you shine a bright light into it. By dilating it, it opens up the pupil, so we have a better view inside. We can take a look at her retina as well as the optic nerve. The dilation also paralyzes the focusing muscle in the eye. So often, people who've had eye exams and have had their eyes dilated, they often can't read up close. That's because the focusing muscles have been paralyzed. And this is kind of a side effect of the drop, which is kind of a nuisance if you've ever been dilated. And it does last a few hours, and it goes away. However, in certain cases, it's very helpful, especially in this patient. Since it did paralyze her focusing muscles, it revealed some farsightedness. So what does that mean? I think it's a term that people are kind of familiar with, farsighted, nearsighted. Well, people who are a bit farsighted, their distance vision can be quite good. However, when they try to read, they focus in, they strain their eyes. They're still able to focus, but they're using a lot of their muscle power to do so. So that's probably what's been going on with this nice lady. She's been using all of her focusing power whenever she's on the computer or if she's doing a lot of reading. So what can we do for this? Well, we gave her a pair of glasses, and the pair of glasses will help to relax those focusing muscles a bit and help out and hopefully produce less eye strain and less headaches. So we give her the prescription, and hopefully she'll do well with those. So we do see a lot of folks complaining of headaches. We see a lot of parents and kids who come in. A lot of kids sometimes fail their vision test at school or their pediatricians. We often talk about older folks, since the majority of our patients are much older. You know, as you get older, you tend to have more problems. But for kids, we really don't talk much about them, with the eyes or anything else, since they're relatively healthy and they don't complain that much. However, it is good to have the kids screened in terms of the vision, and the schools and the pediatricians do a very good job of doing this. And whenever they do encounter problems, they do send their patients to see us. And sometimes, although they may not complain all that much, some blurry vision or need for glasses is revealed during the exam. Okay, so the next patient is a 63-year-old complaining of increasingly blurry vision as well as problems driving at night due to glare. She can't stand the incoming headlights, especially those newer blue I think they're called high-intensity discharge beams. They're really bothersome to her, and she's practically stopped driving at nighttime. So this is a very common complaint, especially among our older patients, and it's consistent with cataracts. And indeed, on exam, she does have relatively advanced cataracts in both eyes. So we discussed cataract surgery. I think that's something that our regular listeners are familiar with. And she was happy to schedule that with us. She did have one issue, though, that we talked about, and that is her prior LASIK. When she was a little bit younger, she had LASIK done to her eyes. And LASIK is a type of surgery that's done on the cornea or the surface of the eye. It's a laser procedure that's done to correct the vision. There are several types of procedures done to correct the vision, called cataract-refractive surgery. LASIK is one of them. PRK is another. And an older technique called RK, or radial keratotomy, predates LASIK and PRK. And these procedures were done to minimize dependence on glasses. And it's a great procedure if you want to get rid of your glasses and if you want to see well, wake up in the morning, see your alarm clock without having to fumble for your glasses. But anyway, she had that done several years ago and enjoyed great vision after the procedure. But now that the cataracts have developed, the vision's really bothersome. So this is an important factor when we're considering cataract surgery. The LASIK, since it does reshape the cornea, can affect the measurements that we take that's necessary to calculate the power of the implant that's put in the eye. So in cataract surgery, we remove your natural lens, since that's become cloudy, hence creating the cataract, and we replace it with a lens implant. And the lens implant is essentially customized for your eye. We do take some special measurements of your eye, and from that, we calculate the power of the lens to put in your eye. However, people with a history of LASIK or PRK or RK, those measurements are a little bit more difficult to do. So we have to take that into consideration. So it's good that we kind of considered that in our history. And we talked about what can happen. For folks who've had LASIK and cataract surgery, since the calculations could be affected, we do need, it's helpful to have prior information about her eyes. And luckily, we did have all of her exams, her eye measurements, her glasses measurements prior to the procedure. So all of that information is very helpful. Is it still possible to do the cataract surgery without all that information? Yeah, it is. However, we do like to warn our patients that they may need glasses to get their best vision after the cataract surgery. Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back to the case afterwards.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Steve Ree filling in for Dr. Tortora on the Hawaiian Eye Show. We were talking about a lady with cataracts and with prior LASIK surgery and the issues that may affect the cataract surgery due to the LASIK, specifically the implant power calculation. And we do have methods to estimate the lens power in folks who've had LASIK or PRK or RK. But it is important to take that into consideration. So if you've had any type of surgery done, please let your doctor know. And of course, on exam, we can kind of see these things on the eye too. So in her case, we did her cataract. We did the right eye first. And on the first day or the day after the surgery, she was already seeing a lot better than before. So I think we got the right estimate, and I think she's going to do great. So this is a good example of things that we take into consideration prior to cataract surgery. Certainly prior eye surgery can be a factor, like the LASIK, PRK, or RK. If you've ever had any type of retina surgery, perhaps if you're a diabetic, you may have had what's called a vitrectomy before, or if you've ever had perhaps a retinal detachment repair, please be sure to notify your doctor. Other eye conditions that we like to know about beforehand, or it's helpful to know about beforehand, is prior eye inflammation or iritis. I think that's something we've talked about in the past. Some people have the inflammation in the eye and can have recurrences as well. So that's something that's helpful for us to know beforehand. I always ask my potential cataract patients if they've ever had trauma to the eye, either recent or even in the distant past, perhaps when they were even kids. And I like to know that because if the eye has had sustained any trauma, that can sometimes damage the area around the cataract. And it's just good to know beforehand, and just can lead to possible complications if the eye has been through some sort of trauma. Also, one other thing that I like to ask, especially of our male patients, is any history of prostate problems, particularly if they've they're on a medication or have taken a medication called Flomax. Flomax is a prostate medication, and Flomax it affects the smooth muscles, not only of the prostate, but it's been shown that it affects the smooth muscles of the iris. So it can make the iris very floppy, and causing a condition called floppy iris syndrome. And that can make the cataract surgery a little bit more challenging, but there are things that we can do to make the surgery a little bit easier for us. However, it's good to know in advance if you've ever been on that medication. So she did very well, and she's eager to do her other eye, and we'll certainly schedule that shortly. We do have an email caller. This is Thomas. He writes, I had a pterygium removed from my right eye over 10 years ago, and it's growing back. Can it be removed again? Well, that's a great question. We do see a lot of patients with pterygium here on Hawaii. A pterygium is a kind of like an overgrowth of the conjunctiva, or the mucus layer, on the whites of the eye, and it can grow onto the cornea. So people often complain that they have like a growth, a white growth, growing on the surface of the eye, onto the colored part of the eye. And it's thought that sunlight exposure, if you've been exposed to the sun, like surfers, this condition is often called surfer eye. Sailors who are exposed to the elements and to the sun are more prone to getting this. If you live in an equatorial region where the sunlight's more intense, certainly this can affect you. Well, anyway, if this growth grows too much, we don't want it to grow too much, obviously, or else it will affect your vision. So what we often recommend, if we do see growth or if it's really bothersome, we do recommend surgery. And it sounds like Thomas had surgery done, but now it's growing back. And certainly, if it is bothersome or if it is threatening the vision, it can be removed again. But the chance of recurrence is always going to be there. So if it is bothersome, and if you've been examined by your eye doctor, and if it's big enough, then it can be removed. We have another caller, Carol. Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm 70 years old, uh-huh. and I have worn glasses since third grade. Uh-huh. I'm nearsighted with a severe astigmatism.
Okay.
I have prescription glasses, and they're all right for driving and walking around, but I can't read with my. I find that my contacts, which I wear all day, mm-hmm. with a pair of reading glasses, does just fine when I'm reading, which I do a lot of. At my age, is there anything that kind of surgery that can be done? I really don't want to be putting contacts in my eyes when I'm 90 years old.
How old are you?
70.
70. Okay. Well, have you had an eye exam recently?
Yeah. Last 6 months.
Last 6 months. Okay.
Yeah, because I have to go in regularly for a contact prescription.
Oh, for the contacts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, were you told that you were developing cataracts at all?
Very little.
Very little. Okay. Mm-hmm. So your vision's probably pretty good.
Yes, it is.
With the contacts. Yeah. And you're having trouble. You want to get rid of the contacts?
Yeah, I don't have any trouble with them. I'm probably wearing them too much. I put them in when I get up in the morning and then take them out when I go to bed, but my eyes have never bothered me.
Right,
you know?
And you want to get rid of your glasses too.
Yeah.
Well, certainly, you know, refractive surgery could be an option. I kind of mentioned the LASIK before. However, you know, if you are starting to develop cataracts,
mm-hmm.
and if they do develop, say, within the next, I don't know, even 2 or 3 years, then if that becomes bothersome to you and your doctor recommends cataract surgery,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, you've only gotten 2 or 3 years out of the LASIK.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough for folks who are patients who are a little bit older and are developing cataracts. Do we want to go with the LASIK? With the thought of perhaps the possibility of doing the cataracts should they become bothersome later on. And, you know, that's totally doable if you want to go that route. But as I mentioned, you know, the calculations, getting the right implant power, it is complicated by the LASIK surgery.
Yeah, I don't know too much about cataract surgery. They replace the lenses. Do you need glasses again?
Oh, after the cataract surgery. Okay, that's a very good question. So the cataract is the lens. So we all have a lens in the eye that helps us to focus. And when we're born, the lens is pretty clear. But over time, and this happens to everybody, the lens does get cloudy. And that cloudiness of the lens is the cataract. So this happens slowly over time. And if they get cloudy enough, changing the glasses or contacts may help to improve the vision, but there may come a point where the glasses or contacts don't even help. Or people often complain of glare symptoms at nighttime, so that driving at night becomes very difficult for them.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Okay. So then it doesn't sound like your cataracts are an issue right now, but you're more concerned with getting rid of your glasses.
Yeah, they are so, you know, they just distort the look of the eye. They're so strong. And I'm wondering how long I can continue to wear contacts.
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's like clear-cut answer for you. Mm-hmm. If the contacts do become, are they more irritating now than before?
No, never.
Oh, no, they're not?
No.
Oh, okay, it's just a pain.
Maybe because I take a lot of vitamins and minerals.
Well, you know, if you can tolerate the contacts, that'd be great. I would hate, you know, for you to get the LASIK and then for the cataracts to develop, you know, in the next 2 or 3 years, and then you got to go through the cataract surgery.
So when they remove the cataract, they put a new lens in?
Yes,
is that the idea?
We take a few.
So you could see then 20/20 or better than wearing thick glasses.
Exactly. That's the goal. We do take a few measurements and estimate the right lens power for your specific eye. However, it is an estimation. Most people do see very well. That's certainly good enough to drive without glasses. But to get your crispest or very best vision, you may need it. You may not wear it all the time. For reading, you will need to wear the glasses. Now, there are different types of implants available now. The one type, we set you for good distance vision, but for up close reading, stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't mind wearing reading glasses because I use them with my contacts anyway.
Got it.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay, no problem. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Okay, that was a great question about cataracts and the need for glasses after cataract surgery. So most people do well, and we get the, you know, close enough implant for good distance vision. However, depending on the type of implant that we put in, most people will need the glasses to read up close. I had mentioned that there are different types of implants available. There's another type of lens that gives you a little bit more flexibility in terms of the distance, intermediate, like computer vision, as well as reading vision. And this is great for folks who want to be less dependent on glasses. Say they want to go, you know, out to eat, they want to be able to read the menu without pulling out the reading glasses, or they're on the computer, you know, a few times a day, checking email and the internet and whatnot. And for those folks, that other lifestyle lens, it's called, is a great option. So going back to Thomas, he had we're talking about the pterygium. He had gotten it removed and it's growing back, and it is possible to remove it. However, I do warn my patients that the risk of recurrence or it growing back is still there. And from my experience, people who've had multiple surgeries, it tends to grow back a little bit sooner, but it is possible. And especially if it's really bothersome and if it is threatening the vision, the surgery can be done. Well, we're going to take another break, and we'll be back soon.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio, 830 KHVH.
It's 73 degrees and partly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton-Dennis. Here's what's happening. An Associated Press team in northern Syria reports government forces have launched a fresh assault on the town of Idlib. Activists say army reinforcements have poured into the town this week and dozens have been killed. As the fighting raged today, UN envoy Kofi Annan appeared to run into dead ends with his peace mission. Both President Bashar Assad and the opposition are rejecting talks. Authorities say the gunman who killed a worker and wounded six others at psychiatric hospital at the University of Pittsburgh this week was killed by campus police who had trained for a Virginia textile shooting. Police say John Schick began shooting almost immediately upon entering the lobby of the Western Psychiatric Institute and Clinic on Thursday afternoon. They say they haven't determined a motive. No arrest yet in two separate stabbing cases. Police were called to University Square just before 4 a.m. where a man was lying bleeding. He was transported to the hospital in serious condition. Another man was stabbed an hour later on Kuhio Avenue and Lewis Street. He was in critical condition at the hospital. Police have opened two attempted murder cases. Governor Neil Abercrombie has signed into law a measure that postpones for a year a scheduled unemployment insurance rate hike that would have cost business owners about $550 more per employee. The new law is retroactive to January 1st and maintains the current rate through the end of the year. Big Island police say a man died of a single car crash yesterday in Waimea. He lost control of his pickup truck, hit a tree just after 2:30 p.m. on Kohala Mountain Road near the 9-mile marker. He was pinned in the vehicle. His identity has not been released. Island weather, there is a high surf advisory for east shores, of wind advisory in effect as well. Today, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, a high near 80. Tonight, cloudy and breezy with a low near 67. And tomorrow, mostly sunny, currently 73 degrees.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Steve Ree filling in for Dr. Tortora this morning. We were talking about a few interesting cases that I saw in the past week. Well, I've got one more here. And this is a 42-year-old male who had pain in his left eye, along with redness, light sensitivity, as well as blurry vision for the past 3 days. So he's been pretty miserable during the past few days, and he came in to see what was going on. Well, on exam, I could see that he had an infection going on his cornea, or the surface of the eye. And by the looks of it, it looked like it was a viral infection, specifically a herpes virus. Now, there are different types of herpes viruses. Type 1, which primarily affects the face and commonly associated with cold sores or fever blisters. You know, some people get these eruptions around their mouth or what have you at times, and that's actually caused by the herpes simplex virus type 1 or HSV type 1. There's also a type 2, which is sexually transmitted, and that affects the genitals. However, in the eye, it's primarily the type 1 that's the cause, and that causes eye problems. And in fact, most people have been exposed to the type 1 virus. I think about 90% of the population has been exposed to it. And people who do have the infection, the virus tends to hang out in the nerves around the face and the eye. and it can kind of just sleep, or what's called latency, or stays dormant, rather, in the nerve, and something can trigger it and make it become active. So hence, people have these cold sores that happen every once in a while. And if the eye is affected, people can have flare-ups on the eye. Well, for this gentleman, he had this specific look and signs of this particular type of infection. So what do we do? Well, we treat this with medication. And in his case, I started him on an antiviral topical medication. It's a gel that's used 5 times a day. And I've been seeing him for the past week or so, and he's slowly getting better. He's definitely more comfortable, less eye pain, less redness. His vision is coming back. So hopefully the next week or two, the infection will be totally resolved. Now, people who do get the cold sores or fever blisters, I think you might be aware that there's several triggers that may make this come about, like stress, sometimes trauma, or excessive sun exposure can make this cold sores come back. And if you do get these cold sores, there's several things that you can do to prevent it from affecting the eye. For example, don't touch your eyes, particularly after touching your face. If you do wear contacts and you have an active cold sore, don't use the contacts because you don't want to touch your eye at all. If you have access to or have been using steroid eye drops for whatever reason, don't use any steroid eye drops because the steroid can make the viral infection worse. And of course, if you feel like your eye is affected, if you have had a history of this type of infection in your eye, please go see your eye doctor because this type of infection, though it can be treated, if nothing is done, then it can be pretty devastating, and it could cause permanent vision changes. I've seen a few patients who've had this type of infection in the past, and it's left scarring on the cornea, and it's severely impacted their vision. So they've actually needed to have a corneal transplant where we remove the central portion of the cornea where the scar is and replace it with a donor cornea. So there's several types of organisms and types of infections that can affect the eye. Something that we see every now and then is a pink eye, what's commonly called pink eye. And that's also caused by a virus, a different virus from the herpes. And that can severely impact one's life. I know because I've had pink eye in the past. It's just horrible. It's also very contagious. So I've often seen one family member, and then in the next few days, I've seen all the rest of the family come in with the same problem. And that's usually caused by the adenovirus, similar to the cold virus. So it's like getting a cold in your eye. And unfortunately, there's no magic drop to make that go away. And like a cold, you kind of have to ride it out and suffer through it, unfortunately. But it does resolve over time. It's just kind of a nuisance, especially during the first week. Other things that can cause infections, certainly bacteria can cause conjunctivitis, as well as causing infections on the cornea, which is quite serious. Our contact lens wearers are at increased risk of getting this type of infection. So I always like to warn my contact lens patients, please be careful, remove your contacts at bedtime, never sleep in your contacts, since the contacts do cause some surface irritation, and anywhere where there's irritation on the surface of the eye, bacteria can kind of set in and start multiplying and cause all sorts of problems. We've got a new caller. Hello? Hello? Okay, I guess we lost that caller. Hello?
Hello. Hi, Dr. Ree.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi. Oh, thank you. I was given Azusite and Ocusoft.
uh-huh.
for the dry eyes and the lid.
Oh, okay.
But I don't remember exactly how to use the Azucite. Do I just put a little bit on my finger and rub it across the eyelashes, or?
That particular medication is used specifically for eyelid inflammation, and it is applied on the lids. There's a condition called meibomianitis, as well as blepharitis, which is inflammation of the eyelid margin. So it is applied specifically, if you can, on the eyelid itself. And not on the surface of the eye.
Oh, I thought it was just across the lashes, which are extremely dry.
Yeah. So it is specifically for the kind of the edge of the lid.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you do get it on your lash, I mean, ultimately it will kind of, you know, get down to the lid margin and the lid skin. So I guess that's the best way, you know, of doing it.
So just put a little bit on my finger and rub it across the eyelid. Not the eyelashes.
Right.
Okay, thank you so much.
Sure.
Enjoy the show. Mahalo.
The edge. Sure.
Yeah, Aloha. Welcome.
Yep. Okay, so she had mentioned that she was having problems with some dry eye issues, and often people have associated lid margin disease or inflammation of the lid margin, something called meibomianitis, as well as blepharitis. And along our lid, or inside our lid, there are oil glands. Everyone has it. And the oil glands secrete oils that help to stabilize the tear film. And in folks who have a little bit of the inflammation, the oil glands can become a little plugged up. So there isn't enough oil to maintain the tear film. And hence, the tears just evaporate very quickly. And that tends to make the dry eye symptoms worse over time. So there's several things we can do. We recommend warm compress to kind of open up these oil glands. People with blepharitis with a lot of debris along the lid margin, we sometimes recommend lid scrubs to kind of clean all that stuff off. Azacite is a medication. It's actually an antibiotic that's been shown to have anti-inflammatory properties. So it's been very helpful for folks with dry eye and lid inflammation. So before the caller, we're talking about different types of eye infections. So for those of you who do wear contact lenses, please be careful not to sleep in your contacts. That does increase your risk of getting infection on the cornea. We do have another email caller here, Rick. He says, I just got a new pair of glasses a month ago, and he gets headaches after wearing them. What can I do? Well, he seems to have the opposite problem of our the first case. Yeah, he gets headaches after wearing the new glasses. So it's kind of created a new problem for him. Well, for people who do get a new pair, and if this is a prescription that's a little bit different or really different from the prior pair, they may notice some period of adjustment where things may look a little bit off, or they may even get headaches. So we initially tell them to kind of be patient with it and have their eyes adjust. However, if this has been going on for a month, he may need to get those glasses checked out. And that can easily be done. You can go back and see your doctor. They can take the measurements of the glasses, make sure it does match the initial prescription. They can see that the glasses are fit properly for that particular person. If he is wearing bifocals, perhaps the bifocals or the position needs to be adjusted. So there are several options. But if it's only been a few days or even a week since you got your new glasses, I would recommend trying to wear them, get adjusted to them for a little bit longer. But a month seems to be a little bit too long. So I would definitely get that checked out. We have another question or comment. Theodore writes, my eyes are always tearing, especially whenever I'm outside. Why is that? Okay, well, this kind of sounds like a dry eye issue. I touched upon dry eye a little bit. A lot of my patients have dry eye disease or dry eye symptoms, and it can be really bothersome. There's no simple cure-all for dry eye, so what we can do is kind of manage their symptoms, and if things do get worse, we kind of step up on the management treatment. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back and talk about Theodore's issues.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Good morning. It's Dr. Steve Ree filling in for Dr. Tortora this morning. We're talking about dry eye issues, specifically Theodore's problem. Whenever he's outside, his eyes are tearing. So whenever patients come to me complaining about tearing, and I tell them their eyes are dry. They're a little bit confused. They ask, oh, if my eyes are dry, why are they tearing? And that's a perfectly good question. It sounds counterintuitive. Well, people often tear, or sometimes tear reflexively, meaning if there's some irritation to the eye just reflexively tears more. The example that I tell my patients is if I poke my eye and irritate it, I'm going to start to cry. So similarly, dry eye can irritate the eye surface, causing reflexive tearing. So we kind of have to break that cycle. So what can we do? Well, in Theodore's case, if he's not using any artificial teardrops, that's always a good first step. There's several products on the market. Anything that says lubricant eye drops for dry eye is a good start. People often come in using Visine or Clear Eyes. Those type of medications, or the type that claim to get the red out, they have medication that kind of constrict the blood vessels. And if you do use that too frequently, your eye kind of becomes accustomed to it. So we often don't recommend using drops like that for dry eye issues. So do look for products that say lubricant eye drops or dry eye, specific eye drops. And you can start using that a few times a day, about 4 to 6 times, and see how you do. And if it does improve the symptoms, that's great. And you can cut back to up to 4 times a day. However, if it is still bothersome to you, if you do have the tearing, burning, itching, or even fluctuating vision, that's also a common complaint, I'd recommend seeing somebody about that. There are different types of management steps that we can take. Our prior caller said that she was on Azacite. Perhaps Theodore might have some lid margin issues and inflammation, a warm compress might be helpful. The Azocyte might be helpful. There are other products available for dry eye issues. You may have seen the commercials for a certain type of medication called Restasis. That is a prescription medication specifically for dry eye. So you may be a good candidate for that. So certainly if you have more of an evaporative issue where the tear film tends to evaporate very quickly, then when you're outside, it becomes very bothersome because your tears simply evaporate away. So perhaps your eyelids may need to be checked out. Well, that's a great question. And, you know, the dry eye, as I said, a lot of my patients have it. And for some, it is really bothersome to them. But we can take several management steps to control the symptoms. The next thing that I'd wanted to talk about. Oh, another question that I get a lot from my patients is, are there specific foods that they can eat that's good for the eye? And I get asked that, I think, like at least once a week. The thing that I recommend or I think is a good start is a heart-healthy diet. And I think people are familiar with that term, diet high in fruits, vegetables, low in fat. Definitely a good place to start. However, studies have shown that there are specific foods that may benefit the eye. First and foremost are green leafy vegetables like spinach, kale, Swiss chard, mustard, and collard greens. So if you're a big fan of those vegetables, you're in great shape. These veggies are rich in lutein, which is thought to be very helpful to the retina, specifically for folks with a condition called macular degeneration. So if you do have macular degeneration, or if you have family members with macular degeneration, perhaps loading up on green leafy vegetables may be a good idea. Other types of food that may be beneficial is fish, like cold water fish, high in omega-3 fatty acids. Stuff like salmon, sardines, herring, mackerel are rich in omega-3 fatty acids. And the omega-3s are thought to be good for macular degeneration as well. Also for dry eye, I often have some of my dry eye patients start flaxseed or fish oils, which are high in omega-3, just to supplement their diet, and it's thought to be good for lid margin disease again, and thought to have good anti-inflammatory properties. And it's also good for your general health, so load up on the sardines. What else is high in omega-3s? Well, walnuts, believe it or not, are a very good source of omega-3 fatty acids. Other nuts include pistachios, almonds, hazelnuts, also a good source. So loading up on almonds, if you're a big fan, put it on everything. Very good source of omega-3 fatty acids. What else is good? Well, I read that orange bell peppers, specifically orange bell peppers, high source of something called zeaxanthin as well as lutein, both good for AMD. Other orange foods like pumpkin, squash, and carrots. Historically, carrots are thought to be good for the eyes, can have similar benefits. So those are specific types of foods that may benefit your eye. Folks with macular degeneration, you may have been started on a supplement, something called PreserVision, Ocuvite in the past, or eye caps. These are dietary supplements or pills that contain vitamins and minerals, specifically beta-carotene, vitamin C, vitamin E, zinc, and copper. That's been shown to benefit folks with macular degeneration. There's another ongoing study looking at lutein and zeaxanthin, as well as omega-3, all of which I'd mentioned before. And the study is ongoing, and preliminary results show that they are beneficial, and final results should be coming out within the next year or two. So that should be exciting. Unfortunately for carnivores out there, steak isn't necessarily beneficial, nor is cheesecake, so sorry about that. But definitely green leafy vegetables is a good place to start. We have another email caller here. Got Claire, who had cataract surgery in the left eye a while ago, and my right eye seems to be doing well. Do I need to get the right eye cataract surgery done as well? Great question. So oftentimes the cataracts develop similarly in both eyes, and they're bothersome in both eyes. So we often recommend getting one eye done first, let that heal a little bit, and we schedule the second eye. However, for some folks, the one eye can be especially bothersome, but the other eye is seeing fine. If that's the case, then certainly, you know, we recommend getting the bothersome eye done. And if you're seeing perfectly well in the other eye, you don't necessarily need to get it done. So it's okay to get one eye done and perhaps update the glasses afterwards if you need it. And should the other eye become bothersome over time, and by bothersome I mean the vision is getting worse, changing glasses doesn't help, driving at night becomes a problem with the glare and halos, or going outside in the sun is a problem because of the glare and halos, stuff like that. If that does develop over time, then you can get the other eye treated as well. So it all depends on how your vision is in the other eye, and your eye doctor can certainly help you make that determination. And one last email caller here, Greg, states, I have diabetes and was told that it's affected my eyes, but that nothing needs to be done and to come back in a year. Should I be going more often, and what can I do to prevent it from getting worse? That's a great question, since we do see a lot of diabetic patients in our practice, and the diabetes does affect the eyes. I mean, it affects the entire body, and in the eyes, if it does become affected, it can be really visually significant. What we look for are changes in the retina or inside the eye. The retina is the tissue that lines the inner portion of the eye, and in people whose diabetes is not under very well control, sugars are up and down or they're up all the time, we kind of see bleeding, swelling of the retina, and if it does become significant, then we recommend treatment. Now, if you don't have any of those changes in the back of the eye, then we recommend a yearly exam. Or if you do have a little bit of the changes, but no treatment is recommended, then a yearly exam should be fine. So the follow-up depends on, I guess, the level of the retinopathy, we call it, in your eyes. So if you do have some retinopathy, but you don't require any treatment, perhaps your doctor may recommend that you be followed up sooner just to be sure that things aren't getting worse. But certainly if you do notice a change in your vision that's not getting any better over time, then certainly you should go back to see your doctor. Well, that's all the time we have this morning. It's been great talking to you folks for the past hour. I'd like to thank Keanu and Will for helping us out here this morning. And I'd like to thank all you listeners for making this show work through your calls and your emails. If you enjoyed your program today, tell your friends about us. If you learned something new, be sure to listen again next week. If you have any questions, you can always email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer your questions. Also, don't forget to check out our website at www.hawaiianeye.com. Also, follow Dr. Totora on Twitter at Dr. Totora, and check out our Facebook page. It's got a lot of great information about eye-related news, all the latest on eye news out there. So, It's been great talking to you this morning. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We have offices in central Oahu as well as in Hilo on the Big Island. I'm Dr. Steve Ree, filling in for Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks for listening and aloha.
You've been listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life...
America's anchorman, Rush Limbaugh.
It's the most gutless choice one can make. Be a liberal...
America's anchorman, Rush Limbaugh.
It's the most